everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Actually, episode number 100 for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. And as usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. And this is something I'd like to take a couple of seconds to tell you all about right now. TLBTalk.com is in the process of being put in the garage for a couple of months. And that is going to happen for several reasons. One of the reasons is this platform was set up specifically to be a platform for the people. We take no corporate money whatsoever. We take no government money whatsoever. And we actually don't even take advertising. The only ads you will see on TLB Talk are ads for our partners like RBN. So, and also Shake and Wake, which I've known Annie for a very long time. So, yes, she's going to have a place there. But the point here is we're in a process right now of shutting it down, adding a few capabilities to it, making it even more presentable. It should be back up and running prior to the 4th of July. It will go down on Friday. And again, this is for a major upgrade. Our biggest issue here is that we won't take in money that will basically tell us you need to do this if you want more money. We are basically a platform that is supported by the membership. Now, I'm going to tell you that there's over 4,000 members, and we have a lot of people that seem to be very happy with the platform. And the average monthly income via donations, remember this is our only mechanism, is $40 a month total, not from each, total. So what we are doing is we are going to take TLB Talk down on this Friday, and we will do some major upgrades. We will give it a few more capabilities. We will add to it so that when we come back, we will be ready to represent. And this is what we wish to do. We wish to give y'all a platform that you can use for the upcoming elections. We know what it means to a lot of people to be able to say what they actually mean, not to have to say things they don't actually mean in order to allow it to be seen by other people. We do have a reputation for allowing people to say the truth. So we have decided that this site needs to be back up and running prior to our election. And also, if we can, by the 4th of July. So to celebrate Independence Day, there's a real good chance that site will be back up by then. But if it is not, it will be up no later than mid-August, so that the site can be used going forward to prepare for what could be the most important election held in the United States in the last 150 years. So there are two possibilities. The strongest possibility is that TLB Talk will go down on Friday, and it will be back up probably on the 1st of July so that the 4th of July can be celebrated on TLB Talk. Even if it does not come back up at the beginning of July, it will definitely come back up by mid-August so that all can have their discussions, find out the information they need, have the discussions they need pertaining to the election prior to the election. And that being the case, as I said, the latest that will come up will be mid-August. So we've got two possible relaunch dates, the 1st of July and the middle of August. Right now, we're all pushing for the 1st of July because we would like TLB Talk to be back up and running by the 4th of July. This is not something we're just doing because we want to do it. This is something we need to do right now. That site has been up for several years. Yes, there's been a lot of changes. Most of you don't understand that we didn't come into this with $10 million like Trump did or anybody else did. We came in this as normal, ordinary, everyday U.S. American citizens, and this money came out of our pocket, not out of our bank accounts, out of our pockets. That's how TLB Talk was built. And it was built over several years, not in a month or two. And this is where we sit right now. So we have a bit of a stigma as something that was built as you watched, doesn't always have the best, I don't know, reputation, but this is the way it had to be done with the funds we did. We do have a great site. We do have the ability to make it even better. Again, TLB Talk will be going down Friday the 19th. That's this coming Friday. And we are hoping to have it up by the 1st of July to celebrate the 4th of July latest. The latest it will possibly be relaunched is the middle of August so that all can prepare for the coming election. So again, TLB Talk is not going away. We're going to make it bigger, better, faster. But I will tell everybody listening, we will do this. We will bring it back up in July. We will give everybody a platform they can talk honestly on and openly on pertaining to this election. Come the first of the year, if we're in the same situation where we are today, where we've got over 4,000 members and we're making or bringing in less than $50 a month total in donations. That means the massive cost of this platform, which isn't all that bad if it's shared, has to be paid by those who are considered to be the senior staff. And that is a big sum, people. We could use some help. If you want this again to be bigger, better, faster, give us a hand. Again, it will be going down on Friday. It will be back up more than likely. This is what we're hoping for before the 4th of July, probably the 1st of July. Any situation that may hold that up, the worst case scenario is the launch will be in the middle of August. Either way, this platform will be available for discussions and whatever for the upcoming 2024 election. Okay, does that make sense to you, Steve?
Certainly does, but I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I haven't been able to get on TLB Talk on my phone for a long, long time.
And the thing of it is, a vast majority of our people on TLB Talk use their phone, and they're on every day.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening with your phone, but I would say out of the almost 5,000 people there, probably at least 35 to 4,000 of them use their phones,
yeah,
and they don't have a problem.
It kicks
So
me off every time.
maybe you and I can have can you can give me some stats, and I can get them over to our tech, and we can see why you're having an issue. Okay?
All righty.
And you won't even have to worry about that until the 4th of July.
That's right.
All right. Again, it's not going away, but it will be bigger, better, faster. And if we don't want to put this thing behind a paywall after the first of the year, help us to support it, please. It is your platform. That's what it was built for. Nobody's going to get rich off this. None of us. But we will get rich off of the information we can share. So let's get into this show. Okay. The title of today's show is, okay, Shut Up by Those Who Serve You. Listen to me. I'm going to say that again. The title of today's show is Shut Up by Those Who Serve You. I am your host, for anybody who doesn't know, Roger Landry, TLV. And this show is co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who you've already heard chime in a little bit earlier. The show wouldn't be the same without Steve. All I need to do is get him to say a little bit more. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidden of these very concepts. No, I don't apologize for saying that every week because it needs to be said. The country we live in today is not the country I was born in 70 years ago. And any baby boomer listening to this show will be happy to say the same damn thing to you. Whether they are Democrat or Republican, the one thing we all realize is this is not the country we were born into. Okay, I'm going to say something I say every week, but I feel it's vital. Look, these platforms, these are great platforms that allow us to say our word every single week, that allow us to give you the information we know you need. Okay, so what I'm asking you to do for whether it's Shake and Wake Radio, PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, or SoFlo Radio, all who carry this show, if you want to keep these great platforms online, the easiest way to do that is to make donations. We all know that. But if you're somebody who makes a donation here, a couple weeks later, one, maybe a month or two later, one, so on and so forth, You still make donations and you are highly valuable to these platforms. Please don't believe I'm saying you're not. You are. But if you want to take it to the next level without having to give them another penny, which I strongly recommend if you can, they're worth it. But if you want to take it to the next level, what does Roger say every week? Average out, or take an average, or take a total of what you normally donate to any one of these platforms over the course of the year. Let's say it comes to $120. Divided by 12. Yeah, that was convenient, wasn't it, Roger? Divided by 12, you got 10 bucks. The next time you're going to make a donation, you're not spending a penny more. Go to that point where it says, make this a monthly donation, put $10 in there, check the little box and hit enter. If you can do that, what you have just done is given any one of these platforms the ability to know what is coming in. And when they know what's coming in, they can use it as a budget. And when you have a solid budget, you can give your audience bigger, badder, better, faster. So if you really want to help these platforms, not only to stay online, but to give you the best product they possibly can, consider doing it in this fashion. Again, it allows them to build a budget, and it doesn't have to cost you a penny more than you're already contributing. Okay, our mission is to keep you, I don't know, armed with the vital truths, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being TLV Talk. Now, again, let's go back to, we're not getting rid of TLV Talk. We're taking it down for a few months to make it bigger, badder, better, faster, and get it ready for what may be the most important election in the last 200 years in America. So what we wanted to be able to do is offer a secure platform with a lot of different options in it to take you through that election season. Okay. Also, a link to any references used for this show presentation will always be included in tomorrow's show article on thelibertybeacon.com by noon central. And that's on Thursday, including active links to any other pertinent data points and articles. I will always state that the message I bring you today is not entertainment, nor is it baseless guesses or remote possibilities. Most of what I deliver is in your face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability depending on our course of action. Well, gee, Roger has an update for you. Roger said that prior to the end of this month, Stephen and I would do a show whereby we could discuss and point out our possible and probable courses of action. Not the ones we're being forced to take, but the ones we may want to take. Stephen, we're going to be presenting this next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And I am really looking forward to it. Stephen is a phenomenal researcher. Stephen is a great presenter. And Roger, well, I can bask in his glory for a little while. Anyway, so that was a joke, Stephen. Yeah, you're supposed to laugh.
I know.
All right, so let's jump into this because, yeah, I've got a bit of stuff to give you today. And let's start off with the name of the show. Again, Eagles, I Report. Shut up by those who serve you. Y'all know well enough by now that Roger picks his titles very carefully. And when I say shut up by those who serve you, stop and think. And stop and think how true that is. America was originally designed by our founders to support the right of we the people to be the final word in America. Did you hear what I said? America was originally designed by our founders to support the right of we the people to be the final word in America. A constitutional republic of, for, and by the people. A place where tyranny would not be allowed to enter, never mind thrive. All of this was based on our founders' firsthand experience with tyrannical governments, which eventually led into revolution and independence. So to say that our founders didn't basically put governance together in a fashion they knew would push back against the tyranny they had all suffered, that's exactly what we saw. But now, several hundred years later, We stand back and look at what their passions and dreams have morphed into. I'm going to tell you something right now, people. Our founders would be enraged. They would be pissed. The anger would runneth over. Once again, those who live in what is today the USA are now being forced to live with what is now seen by many as tyrannical governance. Gee, isn't that exactly what happened a little over 250 years ago? Yeah. Once again, those who live in the USA are now being forced to live with what is now seen by many as tyrannical governance, instituted and enforced via the orders of their masters, the so-called deep state, and its masters, the so-called global elite. Anybody who can't see that this all seems to finish today in a global something or another hasn't really been listening to a lot of the alternative media lately, because this has been choreographed for many, many years. And we are supposed to be in the end game of this today. But I think there's far too many of us pushing back. And this is probably responsible for the overabundance of tyranny and the rising level of tyranny we are seeing on a daily basis. Yeah. Okay. As I have already stated on, I don't know, many appropriate times, today we as Americans live in a country that no longer captivates the interests or desires of most of the world anywhere. Anywhere near the level of the days gone by. I traveled the world for 30 years. That's what I did for a living. What I heard and what I saw then is totally different than what I hear and see today, because today I still have a lot of those connections. And what I hear is nothing like what I saw 30 years ago. Today, the world is looking at America's claims of individual freedoms and rights as what they actually are. Total bullcrap. And as is appropriate, most of them are quick to laugh at those who espouse it. I don't bother anymore when I'm talking with my foreign friends. If I'm talking to somebody who's living in Australia and I'm telling them that I live in the freest country in the world and there's no tyranny in America, when that guy stops laughing so damn hard, I've probably been sleeping for 3 hours. That's not a joke. The world sees America being forced to her knees. I continue to state that today America is seen as a nation in transition. Y'all heard me say this before. Transition to what? Most of you would ask. What do you mean by transition, Roger? Not sure yet, not exactly sure yet, but does dictatorial authoritarianism or totalitarianism, run by a global deep state, does any of that sound familiar? Let me give it to you again. Dictatorial, authoritarian, totalitarian, global deep state. Does any of that sound familiar? Are you hearing more and more about this on a daily basis? And not from the mainstream media. Yeah. So, well, they will, as you hear these words far more often in the near future. And even today, I am hearing the words authoritarian and totalitarian more and more in conversations having to do with U.S. governments. Not a joke, an absolute fact. Remember, I have said this over and over. Over again, hundreds of times, probably. You can't have effective global governance unless or until the cowboys of the world are first taken to their knees. Not a joke, people. You take a look at what was the most prosperous, what was the most powerful, what was the most educated, what was, what was, what was, what was. The only common word In every one of those is the word was. Our health is almost the worst on the planet, people. How many of you understand that we outspend every other nation on the planet for our health by a huge margin? But that the United States, which is the most vaccinated nation on the planet, the United States has the most chronically ill society on the planet, with the sickest children on the planet, with the highest levels of autism on the planet. But yes, our elderly do have the highest level of Alzheimer's as well. And dementia, oh yeah, we rank, people. So we outspend every other country on the planet by a huge fashion, but yet we are the most chronically ill nation on the planet. What the hell does that tell you, people? Stop and think about that. Put it in your damn pipe and smoke it. What do you think about what I just said? How the hell can you have the most advanced medical research centers on the planet? How the hell can you outspend any nation by huge factors on your public health and yet still be the most chronically ill nation on the planet? Kind of makes you think it's supposed to be that way, doesn't it? Because guess what? It is. Let's continue our ongoing discussion on the encroaching tyranny and outright treason against we the people that all can see, if they would only stop and take the time to look. Let's talk about another thing that America is very special at. What is America very special at? I've never seen this in Italy. I've never seen this when I was in Great Britain. I've never seen this when I was in France. I've never seen this when I was in Mexico. I've never seen this when I was in any other country than America. I see today a country that is still, we're all still being told that America leads the world. I just would like to know, with Joe Bob in office and all that has happened, even in the last 4 years, how any of that can possibly be true. Let's stop and take a look. Let's stop and take a look at what's going on here. Let's stop and take a look at what's happening to America. Let's roll forward by asking a few vital questions I continue to ask. And over the last several years, the answers are constantly being amplified, as in getting worse. Yeah. Why are so many people losing or have already lost trust in our government? Today, I am seeing less people believing what our governance has to say than at any other point in my 70 years. And when did this really start to, I don't know, go into hyperdrive? When we started to see our own government trying to decide who would sit in the White House under any circumstances the deep state had to push forward to make that happen. When the American people saw this, most of them couldn't believe it or wouldn't believe it. The biggest thing most people have to understand about Americans is we are very easily distracted. We live a life where TV is a big part of most people's lives, and it has great things that they constantly mock and they constantly repeat, so on and so forth. Okay? The internet today, huge, all kinds of media all over the place. Okay? Today, Americans are more easily distracted than just about any other society on the planet. Why? Because they jump from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, because their lives just don't seem to be as chaotic or bad as it is in most second or third world countries. So this is the way we live. But it's not working anymore. It's not working anymore because people are starting to realize that in between all of these things that were putting a smile on their face, there are things peeking through. And what's peeking through is a big chunk of our Zoomers. Listen to me. The Z Gen, the Gen Zers, are already losing faith in a government that has done almost everything to make sure they had their undivided attention and loyalty. How about, does this government deep state still serve we the people? Or do they serve themselves, the federal, and the global deep state? We have already seen how many laws pass that only benefit the, I don't know, the ruling society. How much does it cost you to feed your family now? How much does it cost you for your utilities now? How much does it cost you for your rent now? What does it cost to buy a new car now? What? How about another point? Is government censorship on many levels out of control in America? When the government walks into a media company and says, you will block this, you can't do this, they can't say this, and you can't do that. And if not, we'll find a way to make you so miserable, you'll do it anyway. Now, obviously, I've made that very oversimplified, but this is basically it. You have forced media to the point where it will, if it wishes to move forward unimpeded, it will betray the American people. Now, that's oversimplified, but we're going to get into that a little bit deeper as we go forward. Okay? So, how about another point? Is this government working with, bribing, or covertly, or not so covertly, threatening large corporations to facilitate much of said censorship? We not only know that to be a fact, we have whistleblowers who have been in there when the government has walked in and said, damn it, you're going to do this or else, or you're going to do this or else, or if you want this from us or this from us, then you're going to do this. And what does it always boil down to? The company benefits, you and I lose. We've heard of the Twitter files. We've heard of the Facebook files, and there's more. How about another point? Okay, and we'll do one more point, and then we'll roll into the break. All right. Is this government working with, bribing, or covert? Well, I just went over that. My mistake. Sorry. Is the First Amendment to the Constitution dead via the machinations of a tyrannical governance? You can't constantly be the government, constantly in our face telling us that we have a First Amendment right, which they are. You can't constantly be teaching our kids in school that they have a First Amendment right. You can't keep doing this when you're not allowing it to happen. When the government is stepping up to tell you, you can't say that because it's inconvenient to our message. But at the same time, I'm telling you, you have First Amendment rights to say, as long as it's not dangerous, as long as it's not illegal, you have the right to say anything. It can't be both ways, people, but this is a government that is teaching it to us both ways. This you can do, this you can't do, but they both rely on the same precedent. Now, have I got that right, Steve? I mean, they both really...
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. So, again, TLB Talk is... it's going down for a couple of months, and that will only allow us to do it bigger, better, faster. Again, we need to make this something that is more attractive to the eye, something that offers more to more people, so that hopefully once we republish the site, like I said, which is more than likely going to be right at the 1st of July, so that it is up for the 4th of July and we can roll it through the election. But again, come the first of the year, if we're still bringing in $35 or $40 a month from over 4,000 people, that's the total, not from each, total 30, sometimes 50, 30 to 50 a month, then we will be going behind the paywall. And once we have done that, there are also ways that you can be part of TLB Talk without having to pay a penny. Bring in 5 new members, you don't have to pay anything for a year. Bring in 25 new members, and it's cumulative. You never have to pay dues again, ever. So what we will do is we will work with our with the people who come and listen, with the people who sign up for membership. We will work with them to help to populate this in a fashion whereby we know the people coming in have an interest in this platform. Again, all we are trying to do, people, is to keep the door open. And if every penny for everything is coming out of our pockets, then we're really stretching it bad. So we could use some help. Again, it's going down on Friday, and it will be coming back up just at the beginning of July, hopefully. The latest it will be back up is mid-August, but we're expecting it to be, as I said, the 1st of July, so that we can bring the 4th of July in. Give us a hand, $5 a month, that's all we're asking, and we will give you a platform that nobody can beat. And that includes live streaming and a bunch of other things that other platforms won't even offer you. So with that all said, let's get back over to our topic. And for anybody who doesn't remember what the title of the show is, because it's a bit in your face, the title of the show is Shut Up by Those Who Serve Us. And when we left, I was going through a few talking points. Let me finish those up real quick, and then we're going to jump into an article I brought in. Okay, so the last thing I said, the First Amendment to the Constitution, is it dead via the machinations of a tyrannical government? And yes, for anybody who tells me that I have First Amendment rights from the government, and then the government turns around and tells whoever I give whatever I wish to publish to not to publish that, but not to tell me that they didn't publish it, blah, blah, blah. This is the same government, people. Next point. Why is the government, the J6 committee, allowed to destroy vital evidence with impunity, but you will spend eternity in prison if you perpetrated the same thing? We know for a fact that a lot of information that would have cleared some of the people that have been sitting in prison and in jail forever for simply protesting, which they had the right to do on January 6th. And in order to keep them there, in order to keep from looking stupid or from having things backfire on them, yes, the J6 committee destroyed some evidence that would have probably freed some of those in jail. You and I do that, we're done. But yet we know this happened. How many of you have heard a story about somebody in Congress on the J6 committee being sent to jail? How many? How many of you have heard that? I haven't. But you try it, like I said, and let's see what happens. Okay. What is being done about this government overreach of constitutional authority, which is where I pretty much ended up on that last talking point. We know for a fact the government is trying to shut us up and totally obliterate our First Amendment rights. We know this for a fact. We know the government is overstepping its authority. We know the government doesn't have the right to do half the damn things they are doing. And we know, because we've been able to prove it over and over again, that what they are feeding us is disinformation far beyond what any of us have ever thrown in their face. We know this to be a fact. Everything I just said, it's not a guess. It isn't. There's actual video proof. But you know what? Nobody cares. Nobody who's in a position to actually take this football and run with it even gives a crap that you and I are living under tyranny that even Stalin would laugh at. That's America today, people. And anybody think that Roger is overstating this, go the hell away. You don't need to be here. Because what I'm trying to tell you is vital. It's important. It's real. And if you don't want to believe it, you're in the wrong place at the right time. I'm going to tell you something, people. As bad as this is, it's getting worse. For instance, buried in the FISA Section 702 reauthorization bill, RISAA, passed by the House of Representatives, is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act. And that is a comment from a concerned senator who says the power that they will glean is terrifying, and he is right. So these are the points. This is where we are. What I want to do is I want to bring someone in who's managed to put the pieces together so that we understand how the mechanism has worked over time and what it's actually doing today. So let's dive into this is about as in your face as you could possibly be. So I guess I could have just continued with that. It's an excellent article. It's written by Jamaica Plain, and the title is A Massive Government Censorship Industrial Complex. The Government Censorship Industrial Complex. Yeah. SCOTUS will rule in June 2024 on a First Amendment free speech case the federal judge called the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, and the circuit court judge described as fairly, I don't know, unsuitable, strong-arming by government officials using mafioso-style threats to increase regulation. Should government officials immediately cease contacting social media companies to censor content, with exceptions for illegal speech? The U.S. government attorney Brian Fletcher, okay, eloquently argues for SCOTUS to discuss the following theoretical legal issues regarding free speech censorship on social media rather than specifics of the case. Should the government have privacy in speech moderation policies? The lawsuit discovery process exposed government pressure applied behind closed doors with 24/7 badgering and profanity arising from the highest White House, FBI, CDC, CISA officials until big tech capitulated. Not a guess, people. Yeah, this is Roger. And if you listen to some of the whistleblowers from the Facebook files and the Twitter files, what you find out is the government wasn't treating those they were looking at with a whole lot of respect. The Twitter files released by Elon Musk and the House weaponization of the federal government subcommittee investigation uncovered a massive government-funded censorship industrial complex that links third-party trust and safety teams within universities and foundations to social media platforms. These non-government organizations, NGOs, which includes Stanford Internet Observatory, SIO, had secret sensitive strategy meetings against private corporations like Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube, were named plaintiffs where, they were deplatformed, suspended, shadow banned, or deleted. This was all intended. Did it happen? Well, we haven't seen it happen yet, but this was the basic intention. When the Disinformation Government Board was rolling out in early 2023, public outrage led the Stanford NGO to form the Election Integrity Project, EIP, to create stories on Russian disinformation. Now, hold on a minute. When the Disinformation Governance Board, And what were they going to do? They were going to create stories about Russian disinformation. While government purports to censor disinformation and enforce big tech data security, government became the number one source of disinformation and engaged in massive personal data surveillance without a warrant. Okay. The first part really smacks you in the face, doesn't it? When the government purports to censor disinformation and becomes the biggest producer or source of disinformation. Not a joke, an absolute fact. Over and over today, our government is telling us things that are absolutely twisted, warped, or lied about. But yet, every time they do it, they shift the blame over to us who have pointed out, saying, in fact, we are the ones who are lying. Not a fact, people. And the good thing is today, more and more people are stepping up to cover the backs of people like me and other alternative media sources that go out of their way to give you the truth. So again, while government purports to censor disinformation and enforce big tech data security, government became the number one source of disinformation and engaged in massive personal data surveillance without warrant. Now, that to me is the biggest issue, because when the government is looking at what you're watching every day, when the government is listening to who you talk to every day on the phone, when the government is broaching all of your Skype conversations, when the government is, and you know nothing about this, you haven't done anything wrong. In your eyes, you have not broken any laws, but yet very soon, a government agent may knock on the door and say, Mr. Landry, you're in trouble because of the following. And immediately in my head, I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way they could have gotten that information was illegally. And this is the country you live in today. Each federal agency demonstrated an escalation of demands until capitulation. And this is, again, we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about YouTube, we're talking about Facebook. Each federal agency demonstrated an escalation of demands until capitulation. I'm going to force this on you till you're willing to at least accept one. Direct access to data and manipulation of content moderation policy. This is what the government told these private entities they wish to have. Direct access to data, meaning yours and mine, and manipulation of content moderation policy. The White House achieved decreasing virality of content that lacked actionable misinformation, like anti-vaccine posts, while amplifying White House narratives. The FBI regularly monitored data directly requested removal of speech from foreign and state-sponsored actors and commandeered, modernization policies of the policies that they were already using. The details of extensive government entanglement within each platform specific to each agency was repressive and intimidating. And again, this comes from those who are aware. This comes from the whistleblowers. Likely, Fletcher would prefer to dwell on not intrusive government action, but rather theoretical issues like government rights and scenarios demanding urgent government oversight. Everybody listening to me, there is a huge difference between censorship and oversight. But he continues, definitely. SCOTUS should not sanction the government right to monitor social media data and rewrite content moderation policy, nor enable secrecy to violating our freedom. Now, when it says SCOTUS should not sanction the government right, okay, who are they talking about? Again, these are the thoughts of those who we suffer. they push back against SCOTUS doing anything that would back off on their rights to literally destroy your First Amendment. Can government officials contact social media platforms to remove unfavored by persuasion, so long as coercive legal threats are not mentioned? Fletcher asserts that the government didn't engage in coercion, but rather significant encouragement to censor misinformation. So it's not coercion, it's significant encouragement to censor misinformation. If that isn't disinformation, I want anybody out there listening to this to tell me what the hell it is. Some background is needed to explain the tenuous position of social media platforms. Social media platforms are not classified as publishers, so they lack publisher-first protections afforded the telephone company or railroads. Instead, social media gain protection against lawsuits from Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, without which Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube, and all other social media platforms could be sued for libelous user-generated content and effectively be unable to exist at all. When the White House asked Facebook to censor the disinformation dozen, for instance, Facebook leadership knew that the White House could pursue action against Facebook for non-action, very different from a White House request of a New York Times journalist not to publish a story. Yeah. The journalist could agree or publish without repercussions due to the strong First Amendment protections. The White House can threaten Facebook with government litigation or loss of Section 230 protections for noncompliance, making any request from the government, unsubtle strong arming, which is exactly what it is. It doesn't matter what the government says. If they tell you we weren't strong arming these people, but we did mention that if you don't do what we need, we may just be able to remove Section 230, which would mean that everybody in the billions of people on Facebook can now sue Facebook. But they don't strong arm these companies. Not at all. They don't strong arm Facebook. They don't strong arm Twitter. They don't strong arm YouTube. No. They just tell them you do this or else. And the thing of it is, the ramifications these companies know immediately when it's mentioned, especially when 230 comes out of a government rep's mouth. Section 230. Okay. The threat of government litigation and loss of Section 230 are not theoretical. The Federal Trade Commission, FTC, and Department of Justice, DOJ, announced a broad antitrust review of market-leading online platforms, different from individual targeting of Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google. The 2018 FTC-DOJ probe focused on platform online content moderation policy and requested that state attorneys generals bring lawsuits against digital platforms not acting in the ways responsive to consumer demands. So we're going to protect the consumer here. The announcement coincided with Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg paying $5 million fine for his privacy protection violations, with the settlement requiring Facebook to establish an independent committee to oversee data and give a third-party organization access to Facebook's data collecting practices for 20 years. Despite no recorded violations by the FTC, regular meetings between Facebook and the FTC were established under threat of criminal penalties for noncompliance. 2 weeks ago, the DOJ served Apple with an antitrust lawsuit alleging anti-competitive behavior. The antitrust settlement that gave government oversight via third parties to and access to Facebook's data with a regularly scheduled meeting sounds like the cozy government social media relationship uncovered during discovery. The House weaponization of committee hearings and the Twitter files released. By definition, communication by government agencies that have the power to, litigate antitrust action or repeal Section 230 protections is coercive. All of this was given to you so that you do understand the specifics behind it. But what does it all boil down to? It all boils down to this, okay? And the Liberty Beacon Project runs a social media website. It's called PLB Talk. Section 230 is what keeps a social media website from being sued into the ground, because a lot of stuff you will find on social media platforms may be, copyrighted, may be something people didn't have so much of a permission to use, so on and so forth. Section 230 protects the platform from this. But if you have a government that says, we wish you to do this, and if you don't, how much longer do you want Section 230 around for? If anything like that is instituted via a discussion between the government and any one of these platforms, you tell me that's not a coercive comment. You tell me that's not a threat. You tell me that's not the government saying, do it. Because that's exactly what it is. And the thing of it is, today government thinks they have gotten so big at hiding everything they do with the words they present. What they don't seem to understand is they're not the only smart people on the planet. Should government censorship be permitted in certain circumstances, such as disinformation during public health threats or election season? Fletcher contends that government censorship should be permitted during a public health emergency. In reality, the declared emergency led to the evisceration of natural law, derived First Amendment constitutional rights, which enabled the government to usurp power to force U.S. citizens into prolonged lockdowns, school closures, and business restrictions. The first U.S. lockdown began in the California Bay Area on March 16, 2020. After February 2020, communication among Bay Area public health county officials described an atmosphere of chaos and non-data-driven decision-making as members strove to operationalize the CDC's quarantine plan. The CDC outlined an untested quarantine plan, and jurisdictions throughout the U.S. followed it. And hell reigned. Lockdown began after seven California local public health officials, DPH, grasped their state-given authority to control the spread of communicable disease, to mandate its, county's 8.5 million citizens to shutter businesses, schools, churches, while healthy citizens were ordered to stay home. The first U.S. jurisdiction ordered police-enforced mandatory lockdown was censorship of dissenting voices with the following edict. This lockdown order is issued based on scientific evidence and best practices regarding the most effective approaches to slow the transition of communicable diseases generally and COVID-19 specifically. The published congratulatory self-reckoning explained their endeavor to control the virus despite no knowledge asymptomatic spread or efficacy of the mandated MPIs. By their self-reckoning, face masks, physical distancing, and increased ventilation as prevention, countermeasures had not been established yet. They recognized that SIP was a, drastic measure with significant collateral social harm, yet implemented countermeasures with no time for deliberation, without known scientific benefit. Thus, DPH spread disinformation to get its residents to comply with CDC orders, fully aware that its draconian orders were untested strategies. To gain compliance, people were censored for criticizing harmful government mandates. Look, people. none of this is a joke. And I can keep giving you the hard facts, but the hard facts I can't get as, I don't know, emotional with. Let me explain. Because pandemic planning guides do not recommend lockdown, public health, censored speech, critical of the lockdown in the hope that their experiment in the U.S. population would work. None of this worked. We all saw that. With lockdowns, indefensible and rigorous scientific evidence was unavailable. The CDC failed to conduct important scientific trials and censored scientific scholarship that contradicted their mandates. Basically, we're going right back to the beginning again. We've got a government that knew for a fact that this was not anywhere near the horrible, horrible disease we were being told it was. They knew for a fact it didn't require the massive lockdowns. They knew for a fact that masks would do more damage than help. They knew for a fact that social distancing was a very bad thing. And I could go on and on. But yet, if you stepped up to tell the world and prove it to them with scientific fact that what was being told to you by the government was wrong, then the government already had in place by coercion via these main mechanisms of information, Facebook, whatever, already had in place the ability to make it look like you who was giving your friends and those who trusted you the truth, you were now accused of the misinformation and the disinformation, and the government was backing what they had to say. How many of you understand what Roger just said? The government has spent over 3 years telling you massive lies and accusing you when you told the truth of putting out disinformation. What country is this? Are you freaking kidding me? All right, Steve, this, I guess you can guess how angry I am right now. Anything to put in here before we close this?
Simmer down now.
Yeah. I hate doing these shows, Steve. I hate it so much.
I do too.
Yeah. But again, as I often say, if people don't know, how can you accuse them of not stepping up? If people like you won't step up to tell, then we can't accuse people for not knowing, can we?
Certainly cannot.
So, but any last words? I think we got, a minute left, something like that?
Well, I'm just, yeah, less than a minute or so. I'm going over my head the scenario that millions and millions of people are going to ask us, why didn't anybody tell us when the time comes?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you and I do our special show next week, it may not be too hard to believe that some of this is actually going to leak in there, because you can't tell people where you're going and how to get there unless you explain where you've been and how you got there.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. How do we do today, Steve? We get some good information out?
Very good today, yes.
Okay. All right, then. Annie, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're doing well. Thank you for the platform. I always enjoy doing shows on this network. And for everybody else listening, remember, TLB Talk will be going offline this Friday. It will be coming back on right at the beginning of July, so that the 4th of July, it will be up for celebration, and we will take it all the way through the rest of this year and the election. And again, if we haven't gotten some more support from membership, this will be a paid platform in 2025.
All right, folks. Until next week.